Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. This video was taken originally off of youtube.com/Hashnasi, that's Hotel Oscar Sierra Hotel, November Alpha Sierra India. I stream every Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, on all topics related to ham radio. Without further ado, let's get started. Ahoy, everyone! It is the Ham Radio Crash Course. Welcome to Friday. First Friday of the year also happens to be Patron's Pick. And today we're going to be talking about RFI in the ham shack. Finding it and then destroying it as best you can. That is my worst ham radio Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation ever. So thank you so much for watching, everybody. Welcome to the show. Got a lot to talk about really quickly. Why do we do this? We do this because we want to learn a little bit more about ham radio and what I call moving forward with ham radio. We learn a little bit, and then we go practice it and deploy it, and we build on that. Ham radio is a hobby of a million hobbies within hobbies. So the more you try out things, you'll find something new that you love, and hopefully that'll lead to more involvement in the hobby and you staying involved. So very good. Got a ton of people here already, a lot of people coming in. I see we got Tom in the chat, Colorado Ham, Wicked Perfect, Lee, what's going on? Zach, of course, is there. Hey, Zach, good to see you. Thanks for the help. So what's the homework for today? Have you been plagued with RFI? What is RFI? Radio frequency interference, of course. And what did you do? I'd like to know what you did. Get ready to call in a little bit later and we can talk about it. Or if you have questions on RFI, if I don't answer your questions with the slides that we have coming up, or if there is something that you disagree or there's a better way, I'm happy to take your comments. And I like it when we find a better way of doing things, trust me, because if there's one thing, one mortal enemy of ham radio, it is interference. We have such highly tuned, sensitive instruments that we use, and RFI just absolutely ruins your day. So please call in or comment or let me know what your thoughts are as we go through the slides. Got two new important news items for today, and then, you know, our normal stuff. So this weekend is actually the RTTY Roundup. RTTY, Radio Teletype as a Digital Mode. That is kind of fallen out of favor, if you will. People still do it. It's still a lot of fun, but it's largely been taken over by PSK, and then now everything is FT8. Well, this contest this weekend, the RTTY Roundup, is going to allow FT8. So you can use FT8 this weekend for the RTTY Roundup, which is going to be very busy. At least it's a thin slice of the band for FT8, but there is going to be a lot of FT8 action. So if you've ever been thinking about getting into FT8, this would be a very good weekend to do that. So make sure you check that out. Oh, and my cameras just went nuts. Oh, it fixed itself. Good. There was a click. Clicks are never good. So we'll keep going. Other news. Yaesu just came out with a driver update for the FT2DR that will allow it to become a WiresX node. And it's supposed to have, and I haven't tried this yet, I'm literally going to get off the stream and go try it. It allows you to basically run it as a handy talkie, still talk into it while connected to a computer or tablet running the software, and you can use WiresX. This has been something that we kind of all have been waiting for since the whole influx of hotspots has come out. Yaesu has done a ham-fisted job of kind of letting people access WiresX. We could get into Yaesu System Fusion via reflectors, but we couldn't use the WiresX via our hotspot. So this is getting closer to that without having to spend the over $100 for a very specific device. I think it's the HSI-100 that Yaesu makes. So, yeah, so excellent. Got a lot of people coming in. Thanks so much for watching. Next Tuesday, I'll be doing the W5KUB chat with Tom. He's in the chat. And we'll be talking about some fun stuff, so make sure you check that out as well. I believe they're actually going to be at a HamCon. He's in the chat, so I'll let him post it. But they're going to be doing something fun tomorrow. I think they have a live stream planned, so check that out. All right. What else? Newsletters coming out this weekend. So January newsletters are going to go out this weekend for those of you that are patrons. It's $1 to get in on the newsletter fun and get a tag on the Discord chat, which Zach may have already posted the link. We've got the Discord chat, which we always do our after chat, so make sure you stay on for that. It's just a live voice chat with me and usually a ton of other people, and we talk about ham radio. So check that out. Zach will post the link here shortly, I bet. So I'm looking at the chat right now. Did it come in yet? Did Tom see what I said? There's the link. Thank you very much, Zach. All right. What else? I think we got it all, except for the Brew Crew. Today, ooh, that's cool. The Sugar Shack Maple Stout, which I think might have already been on a Ham Radio Crash Course before. It's a light one. It's a light one. It's a 6.5% ABV, and that's in a stout, which is not bad. I've had this before. It's kind of on the sweet side. So let's top that bad boy off here. Into my crown glass that my dad brought back from Thailand when he was in the Air Force during the Vietnam War. I have a couple of these. My favorite one, which was the 33 beer can, broke. And it was most upsetting because I had put a sticker over it that said 73, which I thought was fantastic. But that died. So, man. Okay. RFI. Let's talk about it. Where are my slides at? Oh, you know what? Let's see. Do I have? Oh, there's a Riddy website. Links in the description for the Riddy Roundup and some of the links that we're going to be talking about, too. I want to make sure I got that out of the way early. So, finding RFI in the shack and then destroying it. Man. If you're like me, you have dealt with RFI before. And generally, it hits you harder when you are getting into HF. Or going to different antennas, new radios. And sometimes when you're trying to set up a mobile radio in a car, you'll deal with RFI. So what is RFI? This is copied from Wikipedia. RFI is electromagnetic interference, also called radio frequency interference, when in the radio frequency spectrum is a disturbance generated by an external source that affects an electrical circuit by electromagnetic induction, electrostatic coupling, or conduction. So it's basically errant radio waves that are in the same vicinity as you. They could be localized to just something close, or they could be from a power line that's down the street. So you could get interference from lots of things. Specifically, though, we're going to spend more time talking about stuff in the shack, and I'll explain why in a little bit. So what does it look like? Well, it can look like just some kind of garbage, this vertical line here that's just going right down the middle of my radio. That would be something like what we call a spur, right? So I was looking for a good kind of practical example of what it is. Like, what causes this? Why does this happen? And I found this website, k0bg.com/common.html. And again, I'll just read it because he summed it up better than I could do. In an ideal world, RF flows down the outer surface of the center conductor of the coax cable and then returns on the inner surface of the coax shield, right? We've got the driven element and then it comes back down, okay? When there is an imbalance in the antenna, for whatever reason, current will flow outside of the coax, on the outside of the coax shield. This may not seem possible, but it's important to remember, unlike DC, RF current doesn't flow through the conductors. It flows on the surface of the conductors. The current which flows on the outer surface of the shield is called common mode current. In other words, it is unbalanced current not returned within the coaxial cable. This leads to a very important question. If the current isn't returned in the cable, where does it go? The answer is it radiates. So that's a common mode interference. There are other types of interference, but we're talking mainly about that today. And this is going to be kind of an introduction to RFI and how to potentially deal with it. You don't have to become an engineer or an RF specialist to really understand how this works. There are good practices you can deploy to fight it. So how does this affect you? Here's another example of some RFI. That's hash that I can pick up on 40 meters depending on what devices I have on around my radio. RF displays itself in a couple of ways. Spurs, as I just mentioned, hash, the spurs of the vertical lines. And then there's just relatively high noise floor, which can because you're just saturated with RFI all around you from multiple different sources. So it can just totally, totally mess up your day. Lee says, spurious EM can be the source of RFI, but if there's nothing there to interfere with it, it's not RFI. That's very zen. So I have W5KUB to thank for this. He sent me a link to a video. It's a little long for what we're going to do, so I'm going to jump ahead. But he shows a pretty good example of one interference he's facing and then how he tracks it down. So I'm going to try playing this out right now.
All right. Hey, guys, I want to Excellent. Talk to you about some interference. You know, interference is sometimes very difficult to find. We had a case here where one of our viewers out west had to get the power company in to find their interference and were successful in cleaning that up.
Oh, that was the wrong thing to do.
I've had some interference here that started this summer, and it was starting to really worry me. At times it would get very strong, and at times it would get weaker, but it was always there. And it was like on, every buddy. 53 kilohertz, it was there. And I'm thinking, okay, what's going on here, you know? Now, I had a new smart meter put on my house this summer. And I thought, well, maybe that's the smart meter.
So I'm going to jump forward a little bit here because you kind of get the idea. It's got some shack interference. So how does he track it down?
So here's the 7610.
So he's got a 7610 here. Spectroscope. Look at that.
You can start to see a pattern there.
We're watching a YouTube video in a YouTube video. This is Ham Radio Inception.
You notice the regular spacing of this interference.
Oh, let's go to 80.
Look at that, really consistent every couple of steps. You see that?
You can see a little
consistent
better than 80.
Hertz step away. And then
because there's no other
right,
signals
you can,
on right
you can see the interference better on 80 because I don't have a lot of signals on, but you can see pretty regular.
Okay, so it got a consistent RFI picture.
About every
so, 53. What's he do?
So, you know, first thing I do is I go to my breaker box and I turn off the main power. And guess what? My interference goes away. I have the radio running on a 12-volt battery. So I start turning on breakers one at a time.
Oh, Justin Moyers, how you doing? Thank you, buddy.
When it was on, it caused the interference. So now you have to start, you know, being Sherlock Holmes and go through your house.
So we've just about eliminated
everything.
There's
a really funny video of a pug.
Narrowed it down to
like video screens
of a pug. Maybe one more thing plugged in.
That you have to go find out.
We've got a smart charger here.
So, battery charger ended up being the source of his RFI, which is
battery.
Bad. It can be an absolute nightmare.
Unplug it here. We unplug it. Of course, it goes off. And
all right, killed the power, and
our noise went away. Okay, and here we are.
Clean. Look how clean that is. Dropped his noise floor right down. He doesn't have that pulsating noise floor. Excellent. So the link to that video is in the description. Go ahead and check that out. There is a bit of a song at the end. He does a really good introduction video, which I want you guys... Actually, let me pause this for a second. Does a really good introduction video I want you to go watch to his show, because he does have a lot of people on his show, myself included, along with Katie, who you may know. And I don't know if it's a free... I didn't ask if it was a free audio song or not. I don't want to get a strike. So, and that... Wow. So Tom's in the chat right now. W5KUB says, and that was 100 feet from the shack when he was getting that interference. So, pretty serious. All right. Thank you, Tom, for that. That was very helpful. Okay. Come on now. Here we go. You have annoying RFI. Now what? Put your radio on a battery, kill the mains power, and did the interference go away, or most of it? If the answer is yes, the RFI came from inside the house. Okay? That's bad that you have to deal with RFI, but this is probably the best case situation because at least it's in your control. So what you do at that point, as Tom kind of already mentioned, begin turning on one breaker at a time until the interference comes back. When that happens, because remember, your radio's on a battery, right? So you're disconnected from the mains. If the interference comes back, then you know that that circuit you turned on is where that interference-causing device is. You start unplugging all the devices one at a time and check your radio. Boom, boom. When the interference goes away, you destroy the device. That's what you do. You find it and you destroy it. If you can't, well, then we're going to talk about what you do about that, because there are some things you can do. One, you choke it out. So that's a ferrite choke connected to my refrigerator. That's not the final configuration. I'll talk a little bit more about that. But you want as many coils as you can pack onto that ferrite core. That's called a ferrite core. And I believe that is a mix 33 core, if I remember correctly. Mix 31 core. I'll talk about mixes in a second, too, because the metallic blend of the ferrite core will affect its ability to attenuate interference. So wrap as many turns as you can through the wire, which multiplies the attenuation effect of the core. Get that as close to the unit that's being powered, not the wall, but the unit, because what that's basically doing is it's taking its antenna, the transmission line, the power line, out of its access, right? So it's still probably going to be powered. It's still going to be putting out that square wave, in this case, the square wave that would come off of this refrigerator. But by choking it all the way down at that feed point, it loses the capability of having this antenna, the power line, in which the RFI, again, which we found out, RFI goes over the shielding on top and then radiates when it's an inefficient transmission line. So that's what you do. You choke it out. How do you choke a device causing RFI? The easiest way, I mentioned ferrite cores, which are the donut shaped, not the snap-ons. There are situations where you can use a snap-on, which I'll talk about in a little bit, but ferrite cores are the easiest way, the most consistent way, and give you the best bang for your buck, okay? I like Palomar Industries or Palomar Engineering. There are other places you can get these. These are not complicated devices. But if you go to Palomar Engineers, which I actually have their website up, these people are passionate about RFI. Where are they? They go through all kinds of different details about what to do. Ferrites, they do have snap-ons. In fact, I have some snap-ons, and I'm going to show you the comparison between their ferrites and other ferrites. They make really, really good, robust products. So they have 1-to-1, 16-to-1 balance, ununs, you name it. These guys are in the business of dealing with RFI. I am not affiliated with them, but I am a owner of multiple of their products, and I really like it. So totally unaffiliated, but I recommend their stuff a lot. So Palomar Engineers, if you've got an RFI problem, they have a website with articles you can read which describe what you need to do or what's happening, which is highly recommended, and I love stuff like that. So they do a really good job. So ferrite mix. Ferrites use, as I mentioned, a mix of metal within the ceramic makeup of the ferrite. And depending on the makeup, like I mentioned, mix 31, it can either be more effective in certain ranges of frequencies of RFI than others. Case in point, if you have a 40 meter radio that's affected by, like, my refrigerator, you may not want to put a ferrite core around that power line for 40 meters. You want to make sure that whatever that's radiating at, that the absolute value that's coming out of that, what it's actually transmitting on, that's the kind of ferrite you want to buy, and you want to wrap that up in your choke and choke that out. While it's good to do it for just about anything with like a 31, that beer did make me a little gassy. Well, it's good to have a ferrite core like a Mix 31, which is a pretty standard kind of broadband ferrite. It is always good to figure out exactly what's radiating and then tackle that specifically. So, Stephen Hunt with all the asterisks getting my attention in the chat. Hoshnasi, how does one identify RFI without a spectrum analyzer that's built into a rig like that? That is a great question. Really, you'll hear it. In fact, let me see if I can find some around us. That might just be FT8. Yeah, here you go. What just happened? I lost my mouse. Hold on. There we go. So you can hear it. Hopefully you can hear it. I will talk about that, though, and somebody already stole my thunder. Who did it? Taylor Lobb said, get an RTL SDR. That's probably the most effective way to go about doing it. Back to the slides. So Mix 31 is a good application for most appliances. If you really don't know what you're dealing with and you don't have the equipment to figure it out, go get some Mix 31 ferrite cores or snap-ons. I'll show you specifically what you have to do about that. And then go tackle it that way. And the link to Palomar Engineering is there, but you can find it off their website. Basically, you're looking for ferrite mix selection. If you just search for Palomar Engineer and ferrite mix, you'll get a list. So ferrites continued. The idea is to loop the wire, right, closest to the device through the ferrite core as many times as is sane, right? 5 to 7 loops is good. Every loop of wire increases the effective attenuation of the offending signal. Makes sense, right? A snap-on ferrite bead, they work, but it's only effective on one pass, right? It's through just the core of it. That's considered one loop over a ferrite core. So ferrite cores are much more effective in the attenuation you get out of them. So if you can, buy larger snap-on ferrites, wrap the cord up in a bunch of loops, and then put the ferrite around it kind of like you would a zip tie. And that's effective for common mode choke by looping up the wires, the coax, if it's a coax, and then putting a ferrite on it. That's very effective. And you also get effective nulling, if you will, of the interference. So yeah, not bad. Ferrite chokes are good, the snap-ons, but you don't, anyway, if you can swing a ferrite core, try that out. It's a good way to go. All right. So we just covered what happens when you've got interference in the shack, but what happens if it's actually outside the shack? And this is where it gets a little problematic, because everything is no longer your own variables, your own science project. Inside the house, you have control over the general vicinity of the RFI. You can find it easy. You know where the power is coming from. You can shut it off. However, outside, you got to find the RFI through general vicinity type stuff, direction finding, if you will. Get access to the house or building, find the device, and then let the owner let you smash it, which is not going to be most probable. So how do you start? Well, let's track it down. One of the easiest ways I've found, not the best, but you probably already have some of the capability to do this, is use an AM or shortwave radio, something that can tune to the frequency that you're experiencing this RFI on. And then, in the case of your shortwave radio, AM is going to be a little bit different, you can use the antenna, right, lengthening it or reducing it to kind of attenuate the receive capability, right? And what you're going to do is you're going to walk along and turn your body until you can find the direction in which the signal is strongest. And what you do, so holding this shortwave radio here, you're going to put it up against your body as close as you can. And your back is like a null zone for the signal receive on this radio. So you're going to turn your body, right, until the signal is strongest. So if this is the right side of your body here, and as you turn this way, the signals get louder. Well, that means it's probably coming off to your side somewhat. And then you can kind of go to the other side and do the same thing again. So you're using your body as a null to find where the RFI is coming from. Quick and dirty, cheap way of doing it, because you probably already have an AM radio or shortwave radio. AM radios can be a bit less effective in this area because they're tuned to the AM band. And if you're like me, there's tons of AM signals. So you're probably not going to be able to find out exactly where it is without having an AM station over the top of you. Also, you may not be able to tune on the offending frequency. So a wide range shortwave radio, by the way, look at this bad boy. C-Crane, Skywave single sideband, very cool, very small, very surprised by that size radio. But that would be perfect for something like that. Okay? So you take a walk, take a drive, and you're basically doing the same thing as if you were direction finding somebody that was creating spurious interference in the form of a VHF, UHF radio on a repeater, right? You're going to try and DF them by taking different triangulation points across your neighborhood, hopefully. But you could be affected over miles, half a mile or more in some cases, depending on the strength of the interference. Case in point, I don't want to tell his story because he may be in the chat, or probably will be in the chat for our after chat on Discord. Whipgrease. Whipgrease and I have been talking for months about the RFI problems he has at home. Multiple problems. We believe that he might have a problem with power lines in the area that have bad connections because it's cold. You know, go figure. This heat and cold cycle of things freezing and thawing can be damaging to wire connections. Who knew? And I think there's also someone that lives across the street from that's running like a grow shop or something like that, that's growing weed or something like that. So those are horrible for throwing RFI out. So literally we've been spending months talking about dealing with RFI. And I'm actually going to talk about one of his things that he's cooked up to try and track this stuff down. So I guess I'm showing off my Skywave again. Very excited about that radio. That's my new little travel buddy. So already mentioned, but using an SDR is incredibly effective at tracking down RFI because you get that nice screen to see the waterfall, bigger than the 7300, which is also nice. But with that, and a SDR play, which I think is probably a step up from an RTL SDR, but you can do the same thing with both. So if you got one, you can use that. And then some kind of okay-ish antenna. You don't want a super awesome bring in all the signals antenna because K8MRD, wow, thank you, buddy, $20. Thank you for the great videos. You have helped me and countless others get into and join the hobby. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. That means a lot. Thank you very much. So if you had a really effective antenna, you'd be pulling in signals from all over the place. So you don't necessarily want that. And the ability to attenuate is always good. However, what they call step attenuators can be very expensive. These are attenuators that go from like 0 to 40 or 0 to 60 dB through the course of, you know, 4 to 6 toggle switches. And why you want an attenuator is, as we talked about in the direction finding videos I've mentioned before, or that I've talked about, as you get closer to the offending station, if you're using like a Yagi or something like that, which you can use a Yagi to DF interference, if you're using a Yagi or something like that, as you get closer, that signal is going to become more all around you, right? Because it's radiating stronger. So you need to attenuate your signal, basically deafen your antenna to the point that you can receive that signal again and get that directionality back. So, you know, case in point, the body blocking, being able to do that. Whip Grease's idea is that he would use a vertical on the roof of his car since he's dealing with interference that seems to be coming from everywhere and miles away. And he would actually just drive around his neighborhood capturing the waveform and then trying to find by stepping up attenuation where the interference is greatest and then start to ration it down because it's everywhere. His ham club is totally affected by it. So thank you, Whip Grease, for letting me tell your story. So let's see. Power lines. So you might find, I already mentioned power lines, but in some cases, power line connections to transformers, connections to the insulators on the pole, stuff like that over time can become loose. And the effective kind of spray of RFI that comes off of those things is very broadbanded if it's close to you. Pretty much destroys your noise floor. If you have this, you may have a power line problem. And they're tough to track down. The good news is that power companies are generally pretty proactive about finding RFI, tracking it down, and going after it. Because that's power lost, right? That's money, their own money down the drain. They want to make sure they get that power to where they're going and not have a bunch of losses in the line. So, yeah. Well, there's a comment in the chat. How to make an EMP with Xmas lights. I don't know that we could do that, but I'll think about it. Okay. So now we're going to talk about, we're almost done here, and then we'll get to some calls, and I'll show you some stuff on my bench here, my table, that I think are important and want to throw out a reference. So common horrible RFI devices. Refrigerators seem to be my bane of existence for some reason. I've been affected by multiple refrigerators that throw out ridiculous amounts of RFI. And I've had tons of problems choking it down. In fact, that refrigerator that I put the ferrite core on, I'm ultimately going to have to open that thing up and put shielding around the actual power supply or the motor for that thing because it didn't work at all. So totally upset about that. Hair dryers in use will totally blow out your noise floor in a lot of cases. Electric toothbrushes, electric razors, stuff like that that are connected to the wall and charging. So if your wife or significant other likes to blow out their hair constantly, I feel for you. Sorry about that. Dimmable lamps, so specifically dimmable, right? Dimmable. That can affect you. Something to do with, often they have like a rheostat type of thing, and that seems to add RFI along those connections. That seems to just radiate everywhere. Some TVs. So my TV, for instance, has a power plug with a ground lug on it. I was having RFI, and I opened up the back where the power connects, and they just snipped off the ground lug. They just go positive, negative, no ground lug, no grounding at all on my TV. It's a nightmare for RFI, particularly when the Cat 5 cable is connected. That's basically, it turns into an antenna. What's happening? There's actually, it might be Cat 6 now that I think about it. That makes more sense because there's shielding on that cable. So the RFI, which the TV is alive with because it's not getting grounded properly, is flying down the coax cable and then blasting my room. And so that's wonderful. Wall warts. Okay. Chinese radios, Chinese products have wall warts that are awful. Totally, totally a pain in the butt to deal with wall warts. I'll give you an example of one in a second. I found that battery chargers, as Tom demonstrated in his video, particularly like AA, AAA batteries for like Eneloops, bad. Batteries for power tools, also very, very bad. So those can be a nightmare. Get them away from your radio station. Keep them in the garage, whatever. Electric blankets are notoriously horrible because that's literally just a huge chunk of wire that you're putting power through, and it's just radiating. Touch lamps. Touch lamps are the worst at creating RFI. For some reason, just the fact that that whole thing is constantly energized and you're touching it is creating this capacitance loop that changes the voltage and then drops it. That's how they work, basically. Those things are awful because they're constantly just radiating RFI in the process of doing what they're doing. And, of course, Christmas light dipoles that are ridiculously close to your radio. Is that my last one? I think that's my last one. I love lamp. Touch lamps are bad. Man, touch lamps are bad. Okay, so two radios. These are just shortwave AM/FM radios. That's a Texon 310, 380, and the Sky Crane or the Sea Crane Skywave. Now, I wanted to show you a case in point. These are the ferrite chokes that are like most popular on Amazon. These little ferrite snap-on ferrites, and these are the Palomar ferrites, and they're the same mix. They're 31 mix. The Palomars are a little bit more expensive. But you can see the difference. It's the same inner diameter, but the material they're working with is just way, way, way more effective. So recommend Palomar. And the ones I have are the ferrite split bead 10-pack mix 31. And I like I mentioned, and that's good for single turn. Each bead provides 7 ohms. How many turns? Oh, is this... So... 71 ohms at 5 megahertz, 100 ohms at 10, 150 at 25, 250 at 100, etc. So use multiple turns. Yeah, see, they even say it. Use multiple turns for best results, right? Because if it's just a single turn, you don't want that. So last thing. So I found this kind of interesting. I got this off of who knows where, eBay or something like that. It's called a wireless detector. So it's basically like a little bug tracker. Can you focus? There we go. So it seems to have like, the manual's in Chinese. I don't know what it says. Basically, it has two settings, sensitive and like less sensitive. And so you can go around your house and just with this little thing, point it at radios, which, hold on, let me show you this guy. So if I'm, here's my VHF, UHF radio. And if I start coming in here, right? So go B. B's the more sensitive, right? No, less sensitive. See, not as good, but hold A down. Boop, 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 boop. So this thing, though, check this out. So I'm going to pull back the curtain like I've done before.
So over here is my, can you see it? Yeah. So I've got battery chargers over here, which I normally turn off, but I didn't today to show interference. So that's a Eneloop battery charger. And here's a Milwaukee 12-volt battery drill, right? And then you can knock this down, and it gets cuts its ability down to sense the RFI, but it's looking for that radio frequency interference. So it's not just a bug tracker for your personal security. It's also a useful RFI tool. Let me close off the wizard's curtain here. And I don't remember, like I said, I got that off of eBay. I think it was like $5. These things, or maybe I got it off of, I might have got enough of AliExpress now that you think about it. So yeah. All right, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to turn on the call-in light. So if anybody wants to call in, we can do that. Let's see. And let me catch up on the comments now. See if I have any questions that came in. Taylor Lobb says, I once found some interference somewhere in UHF on my SDR, so I reached for my phone on its wireless charging dock, wireless, to look up what transmits in that range. Suddenly the interference stopped. So, right, the power, it's wireless, so that energy that's going from the surface of the wireless charger into your battery makes sense, right, when you think about it. Thank you, Carrie. Carrie said, this is so helpful, I didn't realize so many things can cause RFI. Yes, lots of things can cause RFI, and it is... what you'll likely find, as was mentioned in Tom's video, is that you'll see spurs or hash in between, or hash right on top of the spurs. They'll be equally spaced across the band of effect, and then they'll usually start to fade out. What you'll find is if you've got random spurs that kind of don't have any rhyme or reason, that's probably multiple devices that are affecting you in your area. So keep that in mind when you're looking at RFI, because it can be a pain in the butt. Yeah, it's a pain in the butt. W4IPC. Yeah, there's a call-in number. If you just call in that phone number that's displayed right there and use the special code, you'll be on the stream. That's how that works. Louis Ray says, aftermarket Chinese MacBook Pro battery chargers also create some bad RFI. I have one of those, but I haven't checked mine, or I haven't been affected by it. Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. Patrick Dickey said, I had a touch lamp that would turn on when the furnace kicked on. It was, the airflow causing it. Oh, I was going to be all excited. I'm like, furnace? Oh, my God. My soldering station makes, W4IPC says, my soldering station makes some horrifying RFI, I bet. Oh, somebody called in, heard the ding. Hey, we got a caller. Thank you, Zach. Zach is a good, Zach is basically a producer that's not actually connected to the booth, but he helps more than just about anybody. Oh, here we go. Caller, how's it going?
Hello, Josh. Can you hear me?
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
Well, pretty good. I was just sitting here watching it. No one was calling you, and I thought, you know, being in the business, I need to give you a call, you know, get you off the hot seat.
Oh, appreciate that. I found out that a lot of people watch the videos on their phone, so they can't both watch the video and call, which I think is kind of funny.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, hey, great job tonight on RFI. It's something that really gets all of us from time to time, and it's a little difficult if it isn't in your house, you know, to find it. You're lucky when it's in your own house.
I agree. Yeah, you had so that battery charger you had, was that for like a 12-volt, like a sealed lead acid battery?
Well, it was for a 12 or 24 volt. It was a smart charger, but it really wasn't big enough to run a UPS system I have out in the garage. So I'm not really using it now, but it was interesting that it was so far away. You know, it was maybe 100 feet away from the shack.
That's very large field of effect there. Wow. Hey, I mentioned it in the chat earlier. You guys are doing something this weekend. What is it? I didn't have perfect details on it.
Well, okay. Yeah, Katie Allen and myself will be keynote speakers at the Morristown Hamfest tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. And again, that's on W5KUB.com. So, hey, and just want thanks for giving us a plug tonight. Just want everybody out there to know that you now are a co-host on our show. And if they want to see you on another, you know, a second night per week, you're usually on with us on Tuesday nights.
As long as I can make it, I'm there for sure.
Yeah. As long as you can make it through the traffic.
Yeah, that's the trick. It's getting home that through the Southern California traffic's trouble.
All right. Well, I won't keep you any longer. Thank you so much. Great show. And
appreciate it.
If you're around tomorrow morning, 11 Eastern, tune in to W5KUB.
There you go. All right, guys, check that out. That's always fun, going and watching other ham fest. So thanks, Tom, for calling in.
All right. We'll see you.
All right, bye. James Berry, thank you so much for the super chat there. I appreciate that. You didn't have a question, but if you'd like to follow up with one, go right ahead. I want to remind everybody we are doing the Discord after chat, which Zach posted the link to. Was that – what was that? Somebody else calling in. Here you go, caller. Hey, caller, how's it going?
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's your name?
Oh, this is Jeff Hammer Mike.
Jeff?
Got a question for you.
I'm sorry, was it Jeff?
Working out in the desert with a Baofeng. I'm really, really new to this. I just got my technician class license.
Okay.
That's the Baofeng BFF8.
Okay.
I want to try to expand my distance, and I was wondering about what you think about the Ed Fong J-Pole roll-up, you know, something compact. I know you're really into the survival aspect of it.
Yeah.
What can we do to use something like that, you know, for a real basic, you know, starter, because I'm really just new to this, and I need something right now.
Yeah.
Just in case, you know, hey, if I squat tomorrow, what do I do?
Yeah, definitely the Ed Fong J-Pole is great. It's inexpensive, and the ability that it can roll up means it's portable. There are other companies that make what they call a ladder line J-Pole or TV wire J-Pole. There's lots of different things for a roll-up type VHF, UHF antenna, but that will improve how far you get out immensely. Excuse me. The big thing, though, you got to try to do is get it up vertically. Do you have, like, a pole you can put it on?
True. I've got trees that I can wire it up to and roll it up as high as I can get it, probably maybe 60 feet off the ground, maybe.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, 60 feet off the ground would be perfect. Are you in a relatively flat area, or do you have mountains in your area? What's your geographic situation like?
There are some. I'm in the desert southwest in Arizona here.
Oh, okay. So,
There are some hills.
Yeah.
There's some pits with some valleys, that kind of thing.
So are you trying to work simplex, or are you trying to get more reliable coverage to a repeater in your area?
I'm torn on that. You know, no, I really am not really wanting to use the ham right now as a communication device.
I want to use it
more as an information device.
Sure. Okay. Are you working on getting your license? Yeah. Are you getting your license? Are you working on that?
No, I've got my. I just got the technician class.
Excellent.
I'm going to go for the general.
Okay.
But right now, as a newbie,
mm-hmm.
I'm really more using the ham as a information gathering device.
Gotcha. No, that makes perfect sense. So the other piece of recommendation I have for you is, you may want to at some point step up to a larger antenna when you maybe think about having a permanent installation. You can build a J-pole out of copper plumbing. I've got a video on that, and that's relatively inexpensive.
I, you know, I laugh because I am a plumber.
Okay, oh, yeah. You must hate that video.
Bring it up, but
you must hate that video. I already know what you're. I already know what you're thinking before you even said it. Yeah, trust me. Trust me. That video made me go rethink everything, and I learned how to properly sweat pipe. I ended up remodeling my bathroom, replumbed the whole thing. So that people that laughing awesome. At me, people laughing at me on that video gave me enough initiative to go learn how to properly do it. For sure.
That was great.
So yeah, of course. Okay, so but, getting up is know, the yeah. Go ahead, keep going.
Roll up, very compactable. You know, put it in your bug out bag. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a good J-pole. But you're thinking something else.
No, so the Ed Fong's great to go along with your handy talkie, and then if you think about going to like a fixed mobile radio or a permanent installation in your shack. You may want to think about something a little bit more rigid, less of a hanger-upper, hang-from-a-tree type deal. But you can kind of do that in steps, you know what I mean?
Copy.
Yeah.
Awesome. Very good. All right. Well, you know what? I love your videos. You've been a very great inspiration for me, and I really appreciate what you do.
Thank you. And it was Jeff, right? Just your first name, Jeff, right?
Jackhammer Mike.
Okay. Got
Thank you.
All right. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Jeff's having some fun out there, guys. I'm catching up on the chat now. Jackhammer Mike. He said it so fast. There we go. Jackhammer Mike's a CB-er. I should have asked him about that. All right, we got another caller. Come on in. Hey, caller, how's it going? Are you there?
Hey, Josh. Hey, Josh, can you hear me?
I can. How's it going?
Doing good. It's Davis from Conroe, Texas.
Right on. How's it going, man?
I just wanted to say I really, really enjoy your videos. I learned a lot from the RFI one you had today.
Thank
My
you.
My question is for you.
Yeah.
I'm a new ham, and my brother-in-law gave me an Heathkit SB-101 to start listening on the FHF bands.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered what kind of antenna you would recommend for that.
What does that operate on? Is that just VHF, UHF, FM? Or does that also do single sideband?
It's, like I say, I'm new ham, so I don't understand all that part.
Okay.
You know, what I'm looking at is to listen to 40 meters and 80 meters.
Oh, I thought you said VHF, UHF. It's an HF radio, because I think you said Heathkit.
No. Yeah, it's an HF. It's a Heathkit SB-101, model
SB-101. Okay. Not really familiar with the radio, but you said you're in Texas, so you wanna. Is there a particular band you're targeting to listen on, or you kind of want something that's multi-banded?
Well, I like a multi-band. I like to see what you know. Listen to 40 meters and 80 meters.
Okay, 40 and 80. Okay, so the reality. So those are both good bands right now. That's a good time to be listening to them in the sun cycle. The reality, though, is because of our the length of wire you need to put up to do 80 meters, for example, is a decent amount. You can go with a dipole, or I've got a buddy in Arizona that runs what's called like a maypole antenna, which is basically a fan dipole, but the legs, instead of them being all aligned together horizontally, they're spread out like a maypole in different directions, one leg going north, the other going south, one going west, and they're going east, kind of thing. For 40 and 80, since you mentioned 40 and 80 specifically, a good dipole that's cut for the band is fine, is good, because you don't really gain a whole lot out of having a highly directional high-gain antenna for the 80 through 40-meter band, or 160 through 40-meter bands, all the way down to 30, actually. What were you thinking about? Do you have any ideas there, or what were your thoughts?
Well, what I've got, you know, I'm not worried about the room. I've got the room. What I've been told is maybe work with a half-wave infed antenna.
Are you trying to talk, or are you just going to listen?
No, I'm just going to listen.
Oh, okay. If you're just going to listen, I probably should have asked that too. Also, are you limited in space that you can put up something?
No.
Okay.
No, yeah. I'm not limited in space.
Yeah, a nine to one. Yeah, the only problem with that is, so end fed or off, were you saying off center fed or end fed?
End fed.
End fed. The only problem with that is you kind of need to get it away from stuff that so it won't pick up RFI. Because
yeah.
A lot of times that those end feds will try and use the jacket on the coax as a ground radial. So that can limit your receive capability. Do you have enough space so you could kind of get it away from the house and kind of get it up off the ground some?
Yeah, I've got plenty of space. I can get it away and get it up.
Okay, then an NFED would be a good place to start. Plus, NFEDs are cheap. Those, even if you bought a store-bought 9-to-1 un-un, uniform November, those store-bought ones are cheap. And then you run a long wire. Now, I don't have the link in front of me, but there's a website that will tell you the right. I know it's called a random wire antenna, but there's actually recommended links depending on what you want it to be more effective at. Or you could just cut it specifically for 80 meters, and then it's probably going to be okay on 40 as well.
Okay. All right. So either that or a dipole then, right?
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, since you're not really trying to... Yeah, but that's going to be big. You may not be able to get one in 80. That's my problem. So since you want to receive, right, you do really well, yeah, better with horizontally polarized antennas for receiving. So a dipole's going to be good for that. But, of course, that means you got to get those legs up perpendicular and get them taut and high up off the ground. A mag loop antenna would be another way to go. I know MFJ sells an antenna that's just for receiving. It's a receive antenna, but I don't think it does 80. I think it only goes up to 40, which right now, all things considered, 80 meters is a really good band to have in the evening, I think. And you can make it.
Okay.
Yeah, you can make a mag loop as well.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your comments there. Hey, I've learned a lot from your videos, and I'm watching your videos on the general, studying for my general right now.
Excellent.
Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take it easy. All right. So there's a hold system, so if you call in, it'll just let you sit there. So don't worry about it if you want to call in. But while we're waiting, if anybody wants to call in, let me do this real quick. Want to say thank you to the patrons. A lot of this stuff is because of you guys. There's a whole back end of services and stuff that I need to use, online services to do the different things I do out here. So want to say a big thank you to Michael Nieswender, Chris Ebert, Carrie Blackwell, who I saw earlier in the chat, Jason Siebert, David Dansereau, Danny Miller, Franklin Lewis, Brad Snyder, Ben Kellum, Dean Johnson, Kenneth Miyamoto, Andy, Michael Baxter, Colorado Ham, who I also saw. Thank you for hopping in there. David Hedge, Geraldo Kelso, Gareth Broadhead, Dennis Dunderdale, Anthony, Justin Blackburn, Garrett Larson, the infamous no name, Dennis Mickelson, George Guyini, Jason Brown, Richard Dragon, KG6WFR, Mark Chase, Corwin Crandall, Ron Thorson, Corey Sheldon, Raymond is it Cracker? Did I say that right? I'm looking at my streamer. Yeah, it's Cracker. Okay. And Julian OH8STN, yes, the Tech Nord here on YouTube. Big shout out to him. He and I were talking not too long ago. So thanks, buddy. Whoa, Jackhammer Mike! Jackhammer Mike, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. I appreciate that, buddy. Thank you so much. You say that name so fast, by the way. Threw me for a loop. Wow. Did I say Mike Baxter? No, I didn't say Mike Baxter. Did I? Oh, Michael Baxter. That's kind of funny. There is a Michael Baxter. Yeah. There you go. Michael Baxter. Lower left corner there. So apparently, got a follower there. Maybe it's him. Maybe Last Man Standing watches my show. That would be hilarious. Jackhammer Mike, thank you so much, buddy. Not just for calling in and being a part of the show, but that very generous super chat. So thank you, I appreciate it. I never really put two and two together. Mike Baxter, yeah. Jeff Sellers asks, hello, all from Georgia. Joss, last video you were going to test a Balun or SMA to Longwire for the SDR. Maybe an Unun. How'd it go? The jury's still out on that one. The item, which is available on Amazon, calls itself a 9-to-1 Balun, which a Balun implies a balanced antenna and an unbalanced feed line. An SMA being an unbalanced feed line. And a Balun would connect to a dipole. A Unun, got a caller. An Unun is an unbalanced antenna, like a long wire, an NFED, for example, would be a Unun. So I have it connected as an Unun with a ground radial that I've actually connected to an AC ground in the wall. And I think it's helped the reception, but not much better than just running it as a dipole. All right. Hey.
Making the call.
David, go ahead.
Hello, Hosh. I just wanted to say that for the last caller, he said he was from Texas.
Yes.
If he's living in the North Texas area, I would recommend checking out the DCARA, that's Delta Charlie Alpha Radio Alpha club up here in Denton. They're a great club, and they've helped me out a lot.
There you go.
So, even if he doesn't live nearby, their emails are on the website. They lots of them have professional RF design experience.
Excellent.
So I'm sure they could help him out.
I mean, Texas is a small place. You can just go from one end to the other relatively quickly, right?
Yeah, we have teleporters. They're built into the cattle, you know?
Yeah. It's ran by the marshals. Yeah.
Well, I got to get going.
Hey, thanks for calling
thanks
in.
Thanks for the stream. Have a good one.
You too. Take it easy. Happy New Year. Right on. Well, thank you, David. Both Davids for calling in. Appreciate that. Yeah. I kind of said what my thoughts are on tuners added to receive radios. They can help, but it's a receive antenna, so what is actually a very good antenna if you're really interested in shortwave, specifically shortwave listing, is an active magnetic loop antenna, an active receive antenna. Very, very good. There's a guy in Australia that makes one. They're ridiculously expensive. They're more expensive than the radios, but they're very highly sought after and very well loved. Yeah. Lee. Lee's a funny guy. All right. I think that will do it. Wonderful chat. Thank you so much. Any questions that you'd like to continue this discussion?
So much.
And I did it again. I clicked on the freaking video. Why do I do that? I always click on that when I start wrapping things up. If there's any other questions you have, feel free to bring them on over to the Discord side. I have a bunch of videos planned. I've got some exclusive videos coming up, which I'm very excited about. So make sure you hit subscribe and hit that bell. Live stream every Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Go into the Discord right now. And, yeah, Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year to the patrons. Thank you so much. This show is for you. By your request, by your votes, the producer level of patrons get to pick every month on which video I do a first month stream on. And this was theirs. So I hope it's all you bargained for, and I hope you enjoyed it. Okay, guys, that will do it. Thank you so much. And, again, head into Discord. Take the link from Zach, and I'll see you there in about 5 minutes. Later.